Turn with me this morning, if you would, in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. One of the greatest proclamations made of all times. Greater than the announcement of His Son by the angels in Luke 2. Is the announcement that we find here in chapter 28, verse 6. The Bible says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, this is, I know we'll say that quite often, and we quote that, and as Christians, sometimes we get real familiar with things, and we'll get real familiar with certain statements, or just like, well, it's Easter. Well, that's good to us, and we get, and thank God we're real familiar with it. But to someone that don't really know a lot about Easter and what Easter represents, and it represents the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it represents. That's what it is. Now, I don't no more think it was on April the 8th, as I think I'm left got two left feet. But thank God they are celebrating it. Amen? I believe if the Lord wanted us to know when it was, He would have told us the date. But it is good that they celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I keep saying our Savior because many that celebrate it is not their Savior. And perhaps there be one amongst us this morning that is He's not your Savior. Amen? But yet you've chosen to get up and come to church this morning in honor of it, in respect of it, and we sure appreciate you being here. And hope today, before the service is over, or when the service is over, you will bow your head and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Because once I got saved, it had a totally different meaning to me. I got saved in January, and I can remember it come close around March and April, and I started getting my hands on little newspaper clippings and little things like that, and it just confounded me. As I said, in one of the first studies I've ever done was on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as about a three-month-old child of God. And his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion and his resurrection. So I want to preach this morning a little bit on that thought, for He's not here, He is risen. As I said, it's one of the greatest proclamations ever made in the world. It's greater than the World War I was over, World War II's over. Amen? It's greater than the announcement of His Son when He was born in Luke. This is greater than that. It'll be greater than the announcement by Gabriel when he blows a horn for the second coming. And you say, well, you know, I don't know about that. Well, if it wasn't for the resurrection, there'd be no second coming. Why? Because Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if Christ be not risen, we're all men most miserable. And in this world only we have hope. Loved ones, if in this world only we have hope, we're in a mess. I just go ahead, amen. I don't know if you watch much news, but we're in trouble. If in this world is our hope. Amen. So I believe it's the most important one ever made. This statement challenged the hearts of the entire world. It has given hope to the hopeless. It's transformed sorrow into song. This announcement found in the text tells us there is victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. We sit here, we have a hope in our heart of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, and I preached on it last Sunday morning about His death. I preached Wednesday night about His burial. And I'll preach this morning about His resurrection, which is the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do thank God that He was willing to die for me. I thank God that they buried Him in a tomb. But where the blessing is in my life is in the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if He'd have never come out of the tomb, He'd have been no different than the other thousands that they put in there. Amen? And He'd have been no different. It says over in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, I think it said, proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection. I didn't write that scripture down. But that was proof of He was exactly who He said He was. Now, Jesus Christ was a little different. He not only announced His death, He announced His resurrection. That's pretty good. I don't know about y'all. I don't believe no one's matched it. Amen. He done quite a few real important and different things while he was here than any other man. And but if he be no different, if he hadn't come up from the grave, he'd be no different than all the other false religions in the world. All this Bible would be, if it wasn't for the resurrection, is a piece of religious literature. That's all it'd be. It'd probably still be a pretty good book to read, a pretty good book to live by, but if he hadn't arose. But hey, this Bible would be no different than any other book that you can go to the Library of Congress and get, if he be not risen. Everything hinges on he is not here, for he is risen. You said here this morning, your hope is in when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven. It's all based on the resurrection. You said here this morning, knowing that you can go to the throne of grace and get prayer answered when you need prayer, answered, amen, obtain help in time of need. Why? Because of the resurrection. We said here this morning, I believe this is the Word of God. I don't believe it's a copy of the Word of God. I believe my Bible is the Word of God. Amen. I don't believe it has a contradiction in it. I don't believe it has a flaw in it. And I believe that by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand here this morning knowing my sins have been forgiven. Amen. All my past life, got saved when I was 33. Every sin I ever committed has been put under the blood. Why? Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all based on the resurrection. He is risen is a central truth of the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. You remove this statement, you have no hope. If you believe not in the resurrection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have no hope this morning. You cannot be born again without believing in the resurrection. Sometimes I get a blessing out of listening to the radio on the way into church, and sometimes I get aggravated by listening to the radio. And this morning I got aggravated. Because this professor somewhere said that we, as Christians, need to put more fact with our faith when we tell him people about the Lord. And the guy was interviewing him, asked him, well, what do you mean? He said, well, we go out by faith and tell them that he rose from the dead, but we need to put the fact that that's a historical fact. I do that. Amen? And he told about the virgin birth, and that was a fact. You know, we got faith, but we need fact and all that. But I do that. Why? Because of what the Bible says. They're the ones that's putting doubt on all this stuff. They're the ones that's correcting all this stuff. Amen? They're the ones that's saying, well, it might have been like this and it might have been like that. One of the worst things you can do is look at Discovery Channel on a Bible story. But they monkey with that thing big time. Amen? I mean, they ain't about 10% truth in that whole story, and that's just a story theme. Some of that stuff will come on, Miss Myers, they don't look at that. Because I catch myself fussing at the television. Amen. And, hey, I just lower myself right down where they're at. I want to show you something this morning in Acts 17, 31, 32, if you'll turn there with me. Great truth we find there about the resurrection. Acts chapter 17. Now, Paul here was on Mars Hill, and he evidently had the opportunity to stand and say whatever he thought. You'll find there in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Now, this was evidently a place, and they still have them. I think Brother Linton, when he was in China, spoke of what they call the English Corner. Of course, people could get up and tell what they thought about things. I know they got them in London. And everybody believes everything. Whatever you believe, you get your opportunity to get on the stump. Amen. So evidently, this is one of the first accounts of it. And so Paul was there, and as Paul was passing by, he saw the inscription to the unknown God. So he goes in and gets his opportunity to tell what he thinks. And he, as usual, he tells about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 23, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Who? God. He found an opportunity. He stood up for the Lord. Amen. I remember Brother Linton years ago, and that's where he would be able to witness a whole lot, was at the English corner, because the Chinese wanted to learn the English. So they'd come down, and therefore he'd stand and talk to them about the Lord all he wanted. In English, because they wanted to learn English. What an opportunity. Now, in Birmingham, if you had one of them corners, and go downtown and get up and express what you think, somebody beat you half to death and take everything you got. Amen. Usually a Christian doing it. Hey, denominations can't even get along to discuss God. Much less the lost and the saved. Amen. In verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation. Now, I won't bore you with all this reading. You need to read your Bible yourself. But what he's doing there, he's trying to explain God. He's trying to explain, first of all, there was a God, there is a God. But then he comes on down here to verse 31. He said, because he, talking about God, has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, talking about Lord Jesus Christ, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. He has given assurance unto all men, how? In that he has raised him from the dead. Now, I want to preach on that thought for just a minute. But Paul said there, and I want to preach on this a little bit this morning. He said, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. That little word assurance, I looked it up, and it's always good to do that when you don't have a whole lot of knowledge about things. And assurance means a positive declaration intended to give confidence. That's pretty good right there, amen? A positive declaration intended to give confidence. Another meaning was a promise or pledge, a guarantee or surety. Another meaning was full confidence, freedom from doubt, and constantly. So when he says there that he has given assurance unto all men, that means without a doubt, we are positively, amen, we are confident, we have a promise, God has made a pledge, amen, that we will be resurrected and we can have the victory in this present life. That's what he said there. God, what God done when he rose our Savior from the dead, he put the seal on it, he put the insurance on it, he put the surety on it that all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. And the Bible says in verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Same thing going on in the world. But through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to show you three brief things this morning. We have the assurance that he is our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. He is our Redeemer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Through the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins can be forgiven. Amen. Your sins are forgiven this morning. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ and accepted his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, your sins are forgiven. Do you have victory over them? Chances are not. Then a person sitting in this building got victory over all your sins. They, some of them you'll have victory over. They, some of them you'll get victory and lose it. They, some of them you won't ever get it. They, some of them you'll get victory and never have to bother with it again. But when it comes time to die, when it comes time to go home to be with the Lord, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. Amen. Amen. My sins have been forgiven. Amen. My past sins, my present sins, and my future sin have been put on the blood and sealed because of the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to get the right perspective towards sin in your life. You don't get comfortable with it. You don't accept it. You don't justify it. But brother and sister, as long as you're in this old body of flesh, you're going to fight with it. You're going to have a problem with it. And I don't care what the outward appearance looks. I don't care what somebody come along look like they got victory over every sin in the world. Just call them a liar and send them on their way. They don't have victory. But they do put on a pretty good front. Amen? But through the shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His resurrection from the dead, bless God, He conquered death, hell, and the grave, as I preached Wednesday night. Amen. And He took our sins, put them in the sea of forgiveness, put up a sign, no fishing. Amen. And if you don't get the right outlook on that thing will destroy you. It will beat you to death. Amen. You'll never conquer. You'll never live a victorious life. Amen. You don't justify your sin. You don't take it lightly. You try to live a good life every day. You try to live a victorious life every day. You confess your sins every day. Amen. And realize because of the resurrection, you have been forgiven. If you don't, you're going to be defeated. That's where a lot of God's people are today. You go through your week, your thoughts sometime will be unpure. Your jealousy, your envy, you get angry, you get mad, you're lustful, your desires, your outlook, your thoughts about others, put them on the blood. Amen. Just put them on the blood. And I ain't going to name none of the other bad ones. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It's amazing what man will do to justify himself in the sight of God when all he has to do is trust in Jesus Christ. They'll give, they'll go, they'll work. Do you know Christianity is the only thing where God gives to you and you don't give to God? All other religions, all other heresies, all other cults, every one of them demands that you give to that God where our God gives to us. We're the only one is Christianity. All the rest of them, they still got a body in a grave somewhere. They can't find the body of our Savior. None of them claims the resurrection except Christianity. We have assurance that He is our Redeemer by the resurrection. In 1 John 3:5, the Bible says this, "You know that He was manifested to take away our sins." Then in verse 8 it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." How do you have all this assurance? How can you be so confident? Because of the resurrection. You say, I stand here this morning, I know when I die I'm going to heaven. Why? Because of the resurrection, and God made me a promise in John chapter 1. Ain't but four words over there, and I'm basing my entire life on it. My entire death and my entire eternity on four words. I will come again. We get excited about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you read books about it? No, I just read four words about it. I don't have to read books about the second coming. He said He's coming back. That's good enough for me. I don't have a lot of knowledge or education in order to discern all the ins and outs and the little nitpicking things and all that about His second coming. He said He's coming, and I just believe He's coming. I don't know if He's going to fly on an airplane, drive in a car, amen, come in a spaceship, amen, ride a buzzard in. I don't know how He's going to do it. He just said He's coming back, and I think He's coming back. Amen. That's all I base it on. Well, I got to have more than that. Well, you will when he comes if you're not saved. People say, well, what if you was wrong? Well, I'd rather die and find out I'm wrong than die and find out you're wrong. Amen? Because if you don't believe there was a Lord, if you don't believe there's a heaven and there's a hell and you die, there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen? We have assurance also that he's our intercessor because of the resurrection. In Romans 8:34, the Bible says this, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know where he's at today? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Doing what? Making intercession. And I'm glad it's him and not Mary. Amen? I'm glad it's my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad it's my Savior that come and died on this earth, was buried and rose the third day just like he said he was. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And when I ask God for something, the Lord said, that's one of mine. Amen? Boy, ain't that a blessing? Amen. When Jesus Christ can look down here and see his blood upon us and we've accepted him as our blessed Savior, he's our intercession, he's our go-between, amen, between our prayers and God, and he'll say, yes, that's one of mine, Father. He trusted in me. Give him what you want. You ever notice in the Bible how many times it says and the prayer came up before the Lord, before God? Something seems to be going on between that prayer and God himself. Wonder what that is. I mean, it's all in the Word of God. I just saw it in Isaiah over there. I'm reading in Isaiah right now, my morning reading, and I just saw it in Isaiah over there, and it's in there four or five times, and his prayers came up before the Lord. As though the prayer was made, then it came up before the Lord. Like it went through something, or went past something, or was okayed by something. That's pretty good. But he's our intercessor. Now, what is he intercessing between us and hell, us and the devil? In Romans 8:34, he who is that condemneth, it is Christ that dieth, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 9:24, Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We have access to God only through the resurrected Savior. No other way can we get in the presence of God. No other way can we come before the throne of God other than through Jesus Christ ourselves. And the only way that he has the power to do that is through the resurrection that he done here upon this earth. That's what we're celebrating today. In 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator, not a denomination, not a certain way to pray, not a certain direction to pray, not a certain prayer to pray, not a book to read, a prayer book to read, not a Mary is not the mediator between God and man, it's Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to bash the Catholics, but that's a false teaching that they have. I can go to my knees and immediately talk to my Savior, and he can talk to his Father and get my prayers answered. Why? Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our intercessor. You talk to him, he talks to God. I like that. That's better than talking to the government, amen? That's been better than talking to the bank. But we also have an assurance that he was our substitute through his resurrection. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen? He's our substitute. I preached on that Wednesday night, I think, how he took upon himself what we would have to take if we went to hell. He took it upon himself. When darkness, when on the cross, and you read in your Bible where darkness fell upon him for approximately 3 hours, and he had to cry out to his Father, as God, my God, my God, amen. That was because he took the sins of the world upon him and no longer had a relationship with his Father, his Father. He had to go to him as God, just like you do if you're here this morning without Christ. He's not your Father. Amen. He is Almighty God that you're going to have to give an account to one day. But as darkness fell there, that represents the darkness is in hell. Amen. All the suffering he put up with there on the cross, that represents the suffering in hell. And then the suffering he had to put up with and the battle he had to put up with while in the tomb, that represents what we would have to endure if we died without Jesus Christ and we left this world without a resurrected Lord as our Savior. There are a lot of people, and it's getting pretty big now, and they've got a reality show called Survivor Peppers or something like that, where these people are storing up and buying up, and they're doing everything in the world in case a big tragedy happens or, amen, doomsday and all that stuff. They're making no provisions for the soul. Now, I hope we don't have to face none of that because I ain't got nothing stored. I got quite a few oak trees in the back, and I guess I could eat them, but that's about all I got. And I hope that never comes to pass. But you know, the most important thing I've done is made preparation for my soul. Amen? But the companies now are selling survival packages and food that'll last, I think, 25 to 30 years, and people are digging holes in the mountains and stuff like that. And if that's what they want to do, go for it, amen. It kind of throwed me off in year 2000 when even the people that created all that stuff, made all that stuff, and invented all that stuff didn't have a clue what that stuff was going to do. Amen. Save you 50 gallons of water and about 400-500 pounds of beans and you'll be all right. And a match. Don't let your fire go out. And a pot. You need a pot. Amen. Amen. And some cornmeal and onions, you'll be all right. Amen. I probably need to quit making light of that. Our neighbor across the street's got a storm pit, and it faces our house in the bluff there. And me and Myra were standing out there one day. Said, "Reckon if a tornado started coming, that reckon she'd let us go in there?" I said, "All depends on who gets there first." It ain't hard to see. It's closer to my house than it is her house, ain't it? So I'm pretty sure I'd be more than happy to be welcomed in there. Amen? About the way it's going to be if something bad happens in this world. But he's our substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, "All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." In verse 19, "to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 21 says this of 2 Corinthians 5, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I have the assurance this morning, and I trust you do, that he was my substitute. And I might have said it Wednesday night, no matter what, if you're saved here this morning, no matter what you're going through, this is all the hell you'll have to put up with. Ain't that a blessing? Amen? No matter how hot it gets, no matter how much you suffer, no matter how much your heart gets broken, no matter how much disappointment, no matter how poor you are, no matter what you have to do without, no matter where you have to live, this is all the hell you'll ever have to put up with if you're saved. But right reverse, if you're lost, this is all the heaven you have. This is the best that you ever have is right here on this earth. Ain't that sad? That's sad, isn't it? For some of you have a hard time. Some of you suffer. Some of you, your hearts are broke this morning. Some of you are lonely. Some of you don't have a whole lot of material things. Some of you this morning sad, you stay sad, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a sad state to die like that. And never know no different. This is all the heaven you'll have this morning. See, Christ was our substitute. We don't have to die without Jesus. We don't have to die. We don't have to spend another minute worrying about where we're going when we die. I know without a shadow of a doubt where I'm going. Why? Based on my Bible and on the resurrection of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You say you fit pretty confident in that. Yes, I am. 34 years I've been real confident in that. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He was our substitute. I have assurance this morning that He is my substitute. I wonder if you have that assurance. I can walk out that door right there, never enter another church house door, never open another Bible. But 34 years ago, I bowed my head and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sin. And He done that. Amen? Now, I want to come to church. I want to read my Bible. I want to serve God. I want to be with God's people. I want to do that. God put that within me. But it has nothing to do with me being saved. Me being saved is based on what I've done with Jesus Christ. January 29, 1978. At Grace Baptist Church in Five Points West. That was my salvation. That's when me and Jesus Christ, we met there. And I bowed my head and humbled my heart and asked Him to come into my life. And that's exactly what He done. If you'd have known me prior to that date and known me after that date, you would have no problem understanding. He changed my life. From that point, I'm talking about right then. Didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to endure. Didn't have to study. Didn't have to go to a Bible class. Didn't have to be baptized. He saved my soul right there on the spot. We have a lot of testimonies here like that this morning. Have you ever come to that point in your life? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that you've been born again? If not, why don't you get that thing settled? And we're not inviting you to join our church. That ain't what this is about. This is about receiving Christ as your Savior. Amen? You can join this church and go to hell. You can join any church and go to hell. Regardless of what that church might say. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning. God gave us full assurance. How? By raising Jesus from the dead. That's why we're so confident. That's why there's not a question mark in my life. There's not a question mark on my salvation. There's not a question mark on my service. There's not a question mark on the fact that I might do something that would hurt Jesus or disappoint Him and He might throw me out. I got all the assurance in the world. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I wonder this morning, and I know it's Easter and I know all that, but I'm obligated by God to give you an invitation to accept His Son. And I wonder this morning, is everyone here satisfied with what you have in your relationship with Christ? If not, why don't you get it straight? Boy, what a easy time to remember when you got saved on Easter Sunday. Everybody sitting in this building ought to have a time. You might not have a date, but you ought to have a time and a place when you bowed your head and accepted Christ as your Savior. If you don't, why don't you get it settled? Let someone take a Bible and get it settled. I can tell you the time, the date, the place, the person, and the sinner was there also. That was me. Would you do that this morning? If you don't have one, why don't you get one? That old devil sees that old question mark on your life, he's going to fool with you from now on till you get it settled. He fools with me about a lot of things. He don't fool me about being saved. got that settled. But why don't you get saved this morning? Let's bow our heads. Brother Vernon, you come play something for us.